welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Again, good morning. We're going to go ahead and start this morning from a passage out of the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 43, and it's such a, well, we'll just go ahead and read it. David says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I believe this is the Amplified. It says, why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God, wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my sad countenance and my God. We're doing a really just kind of a two-part series. This is the second of the two parts on just relationship issues with God. Okay, we'd said how we'd kind of come through the summer and the fall talking about our interpersonal relationships with people and walking in love and working through stuff with people and different things like that. But we also wanted to talk about sometimes you can have relationship issues and you can have a relationship issue with God, all right? We know that he's redeemed us. We know that he's reconciled us to himself. But even in that, even in this walk that we have by faith down here with the Lord, we can bump up against some things that can cause issues in our walk with God. Last week we talked about that relationship issue with God when you don't know why. All right, stuff happens. Maybe a prayer doesn't get answered. Something happens to you. Could be a tragedy. Something, and you're asking the why God question. So we kind of dealt with that last week. You know, you go into that secret place, and there is an elephant in the room, and that elephant is your frustration at God's word seemingly not working or something seemingly not going right on God's side, okay? And if you have some questions about that, I encourage you to go back and listen to the message last Sunday. We dealt with that side of a relationship issue with God. But there's another kind of relationship issue that you have with God, and this is where for me, it's just kind of been in two categories. You know, these categories of the relationship issue that I have with God with the why God questions. But then there's another kind of relationship issue that I have with God, and it's really, in my heart, it's captured so well in this psalm, this verse. Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance, my God. It's a person who's in a cast down place. He's talking to his own soul, and he's asking himself, why are you cast down? So his soul, his being, his inner self is down, all right? He's kind of in this place over here. And he knows there's a place over here where you can just be soaring in faith and strong and, you know, things that, you know, just trust in God. But yet, right now, you're here, all right? And you're kind of almost looking over at that place. It's a place you've been before, all right? And sometimes when you've got stuff going on, things come up, you know, you walk by faith, you know, you live by faith. Sometimes you can be over here and just feel stuck, all right? It's like, I'm over here, and I know there's a place over there, and I need to go over there, but your soul can just feel and be so downcast, and you just feel stuck, you know? Your humanity, a lot of times. You know that the inner man's going to rise up and take ascendancy. I know that I'm not leading with my feelings. It's about faith. And if I do the faith, then the feelings are going to come. All right, I know that. I know this. And I'm still here, you know, still feeling stuck. It's not because I don't know. And this is what I'm talking about, relationship issues with God. You know, last week's the why I don't know why I don't know what happened, that's an elephant in the room that kind of comes from the God end, like why God. But here's another relationship issue that I have, another elephant in the room, but it's coming from me, all right? I know better. I know what the word says. I know, but I'm just, you know? And so I can have a relationship issue on this side too. Something that can almost be more frustrating than not knowing why and not knowing the answer is knowing the answer and feeling like zero compulsion. I need to go from here over to here, but it almost feels like I need somebody to do that for me, you know? Because I'm just like, I'm not looking for a rev here. I'm not looking for a... I'm just wiped. I'm just tired. There's an elephant in the room, and it's me, all right? I know what to do, but this is... I'm just talking about me. Like I said, I'm considering myself in the doctrine. It's easy to preach clean lines, but I'm just talking about how I've had to walk this out in my own life, you know, and getting from here to here. And so the title of the message is simply Relationship Issues with God When You Feel Stuck, all right? So this morning what I want to do is I just want to cover that gap right there, all right? So it's a matter not so much of trying to learn something brand new or getting newer, but getting from here over to here. I'm kind of in this place where I'm talking to myself. Come on, Ed, why so downcast are your soul? You know what to do. You know the right stuff, okay? We got it. And how do I go from here to there? There are some things that I've had to do. I mean, it almost feels a little bit like when I think of this paradigm, I think a little bit of that the comic strip Garfield. You know, you got Garfield and then you got Odie. You know, I think Odie's just in the zone and perfect faith, and Garfield's kind of over there just, you know, bubble above his head, thinking all kinds of things, you know. Just, you know, brother, you know, just nothing more depressing for somebody than seeing the joy and the happiness, you know. And sometimes you can almost feel that way, and when you're over here, you can almost have a jaded attitude towards spiritual things. That can get in you, you know, as you just, I know where I should be, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay. You know, it's like we read a song last week regarding, you know, I know the doctrine and theology right now, they don't mean much to me. You know, sometimes you know you got the answer, and I'm just needing to be able to walk in that answer, you know, because here I am, I'm the most emotionally vulnerable and dead and heavy, and this is where I need to be, dead to self and just trusting God and da-da-da-da. It's like, I know where I need to get there, but how do I get there? You know, how do I get myself out of this place? Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. How do I get from here to there? And so these are just times in my life, I'm just saying, where I've felt stuck, and there's some things that I've just had to do to help me to get unstuck, all right? Just some things to help me settle down, because there's a lot of spiritual condemnation here when you feel that. You've got the answer, and you're not doing it, you're not feeling it, and all of a sudden the enemy can come right in on that and pounce and lie and tell you why you're not feeling it, why you're not doing it, and, you know, get all these weird things. And so there's some things that we can do to get unstuck and to really walk in and really move over to where we know we need to be in terms of faith. And so as we're talking about it this morning, the first thing I want to address, and this is just, again, stuff that the Lord has dealt with me in terms of helping me to get unstuck, is number one, just taking one day at a time, okay? I'm over here, and a lot of times I feel like I need to be over here. It's like I need to flip a switch and be here now. And if I'm not here, if I don't just do something and I'm not here, I'm anxious. And so I've had the Holy Spirit, when I'm over here, just say, slow down, all right? You don't have to flip a switch and become faith man, all right? Just slow down right here, right where you're at. And this is where we got some great encouraging words of the Lord. He said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. That's kind of dealing with the weights and the cares and the worries of the world, all the stuff. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. TPT, refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. That's good. That's well put. Take one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And so there, one of the great things that you can do when you feel stuck in this place in your relationship with God, and again, there's an elephant in the room, and that elephant is you or me, you know, because we just don't feel it, or just stuck, or feel a paralysis of analysis of faith, or whatever you want to say. You just, you know, slow down and say, okay, I'm not trying to get there, you know, like a quick thing. I'm just going to rest, and I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm just going to look at today. What have we got left today? I want to win today. I just want to focus on, Lord, what do you have for me today? And to just pray, and to begin to pray, you know, for that daily, you know, just for that, for strength for today, but just to kind of slow down. I guess that's kind of the essence of what I want to say, is that admonition of the Lord right there is so good because it causes us to have to really just rest. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But instead of looking at that spot, I'm just looking at today. Lord, I just want to have a good day today, whatever that means. Another scripture the psalmist gives us along these lines, so teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. New Living, teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Oh, teach us to live well. Teach us to live wisely and well. There's another thing to just realize, too, as we're slowing down, just, you know, how brief life is. And to just cherish that day, to cherish this day. In one sense, you know, sometimes you hear a report or a doctor's report and hear, oh, they're terminal. In one sense, we are all terminal. You understand? The definition of terminal is predicted to lead to death, especially slowly, incurable. If you're in one of these mortal bodies, I can tell you, you are predicted to lead to death, especially slowly, incurable. In other words, if you're living in one of these bodies, you know, unless Jesus comes back, he will transform this corruptible and put on incorruption, all right? But if Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, we are terminal. We are predicted to lead to death. That we get down here, another, and James says, it's a vapor down here. And so many times when we get that anxiousness and get unstuck, we're kind of, to just say, okay, I'm just going to appreciate this day. He says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, that we may grow in wisdom, to live wisely, to appreciate this day. Say, okay, you know, I just get a few of these. And as I do it, I'm just going to think about today and just kind of slow down in my urgency to get unstuck and to get into faith, and I'm just going to take today. It's just one little aspect. And here's where I just so love, and I come back to, when I'm, especially when I'm exhorted to slow down, to this passage of Scripture in Matthew. Matthew 6, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's what we call the Lord's Prayer because, in fact, the Lord, in verse 9, says this is how you ought to pray. All right? But there is such, I mean, there's such brilliance and wisdom in this prayer, obviously because Jesus said it, but just on a personal level, as I keep coming back to this prayer through all my years of walking with the Lord, it's just so full. And for me, to help me slow down and take one day at a time, this prayer, you can see, is meant to be prayed in a daily manner. Give us this day our daily bread. So these are like daily, it's like a daily coming to the Father. It's a daily coming before him. Hallowed be your name. It's a reminder of just worship. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And a lot of times when I'm praying this prayer, there's sometimes I'll just pray it and pray it like I just prayed it, you know, and that's sufficient. Other times I'm praying this prayer and, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, show me today. What do you have for me today? What do you need me to do today? Just guide me today. Show me what you have for me today. Slowing your faith down to a day. All right? Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, but I got this much debt or this much. Give us this day our daily bread. Sufficient unto the day. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A daily reminder. Lord, I'm sorry. If there's anything clogging my conscience, you know, any dead works that are clogging my conscience between me and you, I just confess them. I receive the power of the blood of Jesus that cleanses my conscience from those dead works. I receive forgiveness and cleansing, conscience cleansing from all unrighteousness, Lord, even as I forgive those who've sinned against me, you know, that back and forth. It's like this daily, almost like this tune-up for your heart. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, when you read that statement sometimes, it can think like, well, do not lead us into temptation. Well, of course he wouldn't. There's a lot of times there's kind of a dramatic language sometimes that you see in the Word, the way the things are worded. They kind of provide a powerful contrast. You know, blessed is the man, you think, take Psalm 1. It doesn't say, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord and day and night. It says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of the sinner. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It kind of gives us that negative and then says what he does. And that's kind of what he's saying here. Lead us not into the temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, it's really a prayer of, you are with me, you're my God, you're walking with me, you're delivering me from evil today, today, today. You know, if you can just win a day, and you know how to win a day, you got it made. Because then tomorrow, all you got to do is win tomorrow. When I'm feeling stuck for me, that's what I need. Because when I want to get from here to there, it's like I feel like I got to hurry up and believe. It's hard to hurry up and believe. What is it? Isaiah says, he who believes will not make haste. It's hard to just hurry up and believe. And so a lot of times you just got to slow down and say, okay, Father, I'm going to kind of get back. I'm just going to slow down on some real basic stuff here. And I'm just going to, you know, let you get me into this place. Because sometimes when you're praying that Lord's Prayer, it's amazing how this prayer, I'll just go through this prayer and it will help unlock little things that have been just bugging me. Because there's such a breadth in this prayer, from worship to doing the will of God, to provision, to forgiveness, to living victoriously in Christ for the kingdom and the glory of God. Well, that pretty well covers the spectrum of my day. And so there's something about that prayer, just kind of slowing down and praying it. I'll kind of pray, you know, different. Sometimes I'll just pray it, but I don't always pray that prayer the same way twice, because a lot of times there's just different tweakings from day to day that prayer speaks to me in different ways from day to day. But it can be a great way, and these are just things that have helped me, all right, as I worked out, you know, as I'm considering the doctrine of myself. These are some things that have helped to get me unstuck when I'm in that place of just kind of almost like a spiritual lethargy in my inward man. I'm having to talk to him. Just say, okay, here we go, one day at a time. Lord, one day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. There's an old song that way. But something like that, you really just got to get that, just get into that mindset and that frame. It's like, okay, here we go. One day at a time, I'm slowing down. I'm numbering my days. And what's on the day today? I'm going to win this day. I'm going to live for you this day. I'm going to set my mind on you just today, okay? And then his mercies are new every morning. So tomorrow you wake up with a new set of mercy and strength and in spiritual vitality for tomorrow. But don't try to, because have you ever done that before? I have, where you're thinking out ahead. You're thinking out ahead of where you're not yet. And the problem with that is the grace that you need for then is not there yet, because you're not there yet. You're trying to understand what it would be like to do that with just the grace you have for today. And tomorrow is another grace. And if God transitions you to something, there will be a grace there that isn't here. And that's the problem of trying to project. And so just when you stay within that grace today, praise God, I got grace for this. I can't imagine myself, well, yeah, you could with today's grace, tomorrow's grace, you'll have what you need for tomorrow. But there's just a good slowing down, you know, that happens one day at a time, and just realizing today is a precious day, all right? I'm not trying to get from here to there. I'm not trying to hurry up and believe. I'm going to slow down, actually. Slow down and just look at today and, you know, teach us to number our days and to realize each day is precious. And this is a good daily prayer, a good daily checkup, because you might have some real specific stuff, but you can fine-tune this and your heart is right here. You're gonna have ears to hear to help you to move in that direction. The next thing in terms of just getting unstuck is enjoying your life in God. Enjoying your life in God. I know this. This is just one of those things. I'm just saying that I've had to do to kind of get. I don't know how to say it exactly, but it's something that I've had to do to help me get unstuck. All right. The scripture in Proverbs here says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. A happy heart is good medicine, but a cheerful mind, and a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries the bones. All right? And like we said, when I'm here, and I'm just like, I see something that needs to be done, there's got to be something, you know, I'm kind of down in the dumps here. I need to be over there. And I do feel a little frustrated. I know that, praise God, I should be in this place where, you know, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself that I might finish my course with joy. I know that's where ultimately I want to be in that zone, right? Amen. But I'm not in that zone right now. You hope in God, there's that place, all right? And that's where I want to be, where you're just kind of so emotionally dead and just zoned into the Spirit. But you're over here, like I said, I'm stuck and I'm the elephant in the room because I'm not, you know, I'm just, yes, things are getting in the way. And because, and this is why I felt a relationship with God, because when you're feeling that, oh, like somebody's got to do this to this, you know, kind of carry you, is because you feel, when you're all emotionally worked up, sometimes I'll call this snow globing. It's just like you're feeling shaken, and it's just like you can't tell up or down. You know, you got to be over there, that, you know, that place of faith. It can feel like, you know, emotions are just an enemy, and they're all bad, and they're all, you can kind of get that mentality in your head. But you got to understand that even though we don't lead with our emotions, we lead with our faith. I mean, we are led, we walk by faith and not by sight. We've got to be able to transition, and again, just kind of going from this gap, from the whole counsel of the Word of God, and realize that there are some things that we can do that can help us emotionally get from here to there, okay? A merry heart does do good like a medicine. There are some things that we can do emotionally that can help and be an aid to our faith. It's not a replacement to our faith, but the Scripture admonishes a cheerful heart. We should have a happy heart. Here's one of the great ways that we can do it, that we're admonished from the Scriptures in Ephesians. And don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled with the fullness of the Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. Keep speaking to each other with words of Scripture, singing the Psalms with praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. Always give thanks to the Father God for every person He brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right? Amen. And so what you can do is, and this is not cheating, all right? This is not cheating emotionally, all right? This is not getting hyped up. This is getting stirred up in the Spirit of God in a way that affects your emotions in a positive way, that brings your emotions into agreement with the Word of God, that brings your emotional being into agreement. So instead of, again, feeling like I'm fighting my emotions to have to be in that zone over there, I'm slowing down today. I'm slowing down today, and I'm just enjoying my life in God. I'm enjoying His presence. I'm not enjoying His presence. I'm not going to get this fixed so that I can enjoy His presence. I'm just going to enjoy His presence. Regardless of what happens to that thing over there, I'm going to enjoy His presence right now. I'm just going to bless the Lord at all times. This is not cheating again, to just be able to get happy today, to bless the Lord at all times. I've kind of brought that thing out too with the whole treadmill deal, that, you know, feeling that fight and that argument and saying, oh, Lord, I got to bring closure to this before I can praise You. And He said, no, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise Me. You can bless the Lord at all times. And this is where you can engage Him, because no matter what that other stuff is, there's one thing that you can know: God loves you, He's for you. And sometimes this is what I do, and I know something's really basic, but I'm over here and I'm just like a slug. I'll bring it back to just, I am saved. Why am I even doing all this? Because I'm a child of God. Because I'm saved by grace through faith, and He loves me, and He's for me, and I know that. I know that God loves me, and nothing can separate me from that love. There is nothing. He really loves me like that. And I'm so glad, Lord, I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm going to spend the rest of my eternity with You. When this mortal body expires, whatever its expiration date is, I don't know. But I know whatever that date is, that because of Jesus Christ, I'm going to outlive this body. And that is awesome. You know, that's amazing. I might be the worst at this Christianity thing, but you know what? I'm saved. And you know what? I'm going to live with Him forever. And He loves me, and He's for me. And, you know, I'm just, you know, it's that encouraging yourself in a sense. But what you're just going to enjoy Him. I'm just going to enjoy You. I'm just going to enjoy You, Lord. I just want to enjoy You. I want to come into Your presence. You know, as we're singing on a Sunday morning like that, and we just get in the presence of God, that is something that I'll do in a practical sense. I'll just have a little playlist of those songs. You know what I mean? You know your songs. Get your songs on your playlist and begin to sing until your heart overflows with a joyful song. It'll affect your emotions. It'll help get you unstuck emotionally from that place to where those words of those songs are also, you're hearing the words, and there's faith that comes by hearing by those words. So it kind of helps. It just helps jumpstart you. You know, it helps jumpstart your. God knew we needed this as human beings. We needed that health, that emotional health, to be able to worship God. And not only that, I love this. Just in talking about enjoying your life in God, this is a great little exhortation from Ecclesiastes. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. This is the guy, the philosopher, who's kind of seen it all, done it all, and has some powerful wisdom as far as conclusion, you know, which he has given you under the sun all the days of your vanity, for that is your portion in life, in the labor which you perform under the sun. This is the message, says, relish life with the spouse you love, each and every day of your precious life. Each day is God's gift. You know, there's also a part when we're over here, even stuck. There's the spiritual side where we're worshiping God, we're remembering his goodness, but take time to just enjoy your family, your friends, just the natural relationships that God gives you. Just take some time to enjoy, just to enjoy life. You know, sometimes the Lord might just say, you know what, you need to just watch the Packer game. Have a little fun, all right? You know, especially if you're a Miami Dolphin fan, you really need to watch the Packer game, you know, to stay up and enjoy life. But sometimes you're just going to have fun. Do natural things that are fun. You know what I mean? There's just fun that you can have. There's just things you can enjoy. Just enjoy life. Enjoy being around people, hanging out with people. You know, whether it's watching a game together, just purposing to go out and just do something fun. Shake it up and have a little bit of enjoyment and excitement in your life. Enjoy the light. Enjoy these days down here. You know, you labor, you toil, you get some things. Enjoy the fruit of your labors, all right? It's not a matter of just being spiritualed out, but enjoying life. There is a natural side of life. There's a spiritual side of life. And to fully enjoy, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly to the full till it overflows. And there is no greater witness to this world out here than when they see people enjoying their natural life. They see people enjoying their relationships. They see people having fun, and there's no drugs or artificial stimulants involved. They're just really enjoying life. I mean, it's one of the great witnesses and testimonies you have is just enjoy, engage, do stuff, be in part of these community little events or things that you're doing to see Christians there enjoying it and enjoying life. That's part of what can help us. I don't know how many times you can be five levels deep in this spiritual thing and you just go out and you just do a little fun little thing and activity. It's like it can just break a bunch of stuff off you. Just enjoying life, okay? I'm just saying, when we're trying to get from here to there, there's a thing where God just wants us to be able to enjoy. Do some things. Now, obviously, we're talking kind of about the emotional side of this. This is where I kind of get frustrated. I got to be faith man over here where I'm dead to my emotions, but I am really under it right now. And how do I get from here to there? There is going to be where I'm worshiping God and I do get dead to my emotions and I do enter into that place. And there's going to be some times when I'm there's that heaviness and I just feel prompted by the Spirit. And you're still feeling kind of prompted to do stuff, but to just do fun stuff, you know. I'm not talking about carnal, worldly stuff, but I'm just talking about have fun, do fun stuff that is things that you enjoy. You know, sometimes you can become a Christian, you could have some great hobbies or activities or things, and sometimes you put them on the shelf for a while because you're focusing on spiritual things. That's fine, but you got to realize that there's a lot of hobbies and activities and things like that that are part of who you are on the inside. And it's okay to take those down and begin to enjoy just, if it's little natural, creative things and all that, that's all part of who you are. And so just because it might not be a big spiritual thing doesn't mean that it isn't healthy and part of just enjoying your life in God. Just enjoying some things that you like to do. He works in you to will and to do. And if all you're going to hear is, you know, Bible stuff and reading the Bible and doing, you're going to miss out and you're going to close your ears to just some fun, natural stuff he's exhorting you to do and enjoy and take some time. And, you know, it's really that part of it, to see God in that light, to really see that he wants you to enjoy your life. Is there something about that when you just go out and you just have a fun little time with a friend or your spouse or a family time or things like that? And it's like, that was good. There's a refreshing in your soul that you get from that. It's not that I got a big revelation. There's just health in relationships and health and stuff that happens from enjoying your life on the natural and on the spiritual side. It's not just about your relationship with God. It is about your relationship with people. And so sometimes you're going to feel prompted to do some things that might not sound super spiritual. Hey, let's come over and, you know, watch a football game. Let's come over and, or, you know, do whatever it is that you do. I'm talking to guys. I'm sure the guys are saying amen, but, you know, I just, there's just stuff that you want to enjoy and have fun. So that's kind of the other thing that just kind of helps me get unstuck. As I'm moving from here over to there, I'm going to enjoy the God and enjoy the presence of God. I'm just going to see what are some fun things I can do just to hang out, just enjoy life and loosen up a little bit, you know, and, you know, just enjoy those things. And then finally, agreeing with God's promises, okay? So we've kind of talked about the taking one day at a time. That's kind of the refuting the hurry up and believe issue. I can just slow down, take one day, just win the day. Go, you know, for me, I like the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of a good spiritual heart tune-up, checkup. But then also there's the enjoying your life in God, and that kind of deals with the emotional side of getting in faith. And, you know, my emotions are not an enemy. Your emotions are given to you by God. They're there for you to enjoy, and so you find out good ways you can enjoy those emotions, all right, as you're working your way over to this place of faith in God. But finally, agreeing with the promises of God, and this is such an important this is such an important aspect to understand when we begin to talk about the promises and standing on the promises and different things like that, because it can conjure up a sense of effort that can be a little intimidating and overwhelming at times. Let's take a look at a passage in Scripture, 2 Peter 1. He says, "And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." That's New Living. This is the Passion. "As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world." All right? This is such an important little verse here as it relates to standing on the promises, getting in faith, being over here where you are walking, where you're trusting God, being in that place where you hope to be, the way you approach the word. Because it's very telling there in verse 4, it says, when you, the power of these promises, you experience partnership with the divine nature, okay? The powerful thing about these promises, well, it's kind of the Bible, just kind of lift up the Bible as the emblem of the promises, okay, is that these promises were inspired by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God that Jesus gave us, he called the Helper, and put on the inside of us, is the author of these promises. And so when we read these promises, there's someone on the inside that is saying, amen, that's true, that's right. And it's a pretty powerful arrangement, because we experience a partnership with the divine nature. And so as we're standing on the promises of God, we've got to begin to realize that what we're doing is ultimately we're just coming into an agreement with God. So when the Scripture says, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. These are some powerful truths. These are some powerful things that God says about us, okay? Now, if you're an algebra geek, I was an algebra geek at the time when I was in high school. I had fun tooling around with equations and things like that, although I didn't remember this particular property name. I just was prompted to kind of remember it, but it's called the transitive property in algebra, all right? And yeah, some of you got young guys probably still have that fresh in your mind here. But basically what it says is if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. All right? Not too deep. But when you realize that if A, Almighty God, equals B, the Bible, all right? In other words, those words came from the heart of God. All right, I didn't think those up. Those words that we're reading this morning, they all originated from God. And he spoke through man and got it on the Bible, we call the Bible. In other words, that equals his heart. All right, forget you, forget me. That equals his heart. He wrote these. He inspired those words. All right? But then if I, C, child of God, equal B, if I come into agreement with what God's word says, and I read those and go, oh, cool. I mean, I didn't write these, so I got to read them to find out even what they are. But I read them and go, okay, wait then. God is for us. He didn't spare his own son. Hallelujah, will not freely give us all things. Who should bring it? God justifies. So I'm reading that about him. Now, I can read that about him, but then I got a decision. Am I going to agree with it or not? And a lot of times, right here, there's such a powerful, peaceful inflection point right here. Because if we don't approach this right, we can read these scriptures and almost kind of get into a trap like what Jesus said. We can get into a vain repetition, thinking we're going to be heard for our much speaking. It's not about, you know, it's not just about, you know, I'm just trying to stir up. It's just a very simple human decision to agree with these words. I agree. God is for me. Who can be against me? My job over here is to simply agree with what God has said. Because when God says that, and I agree with that, then I'm agreeing with God. Me and God are in agreement. It puts me in agreement when I just choose to believe that. I choose to agree that that's true. So, you know, in other words, I'm not, you know, just declaring the word over and over and over and over and over again to try to make me feel better and to hurry up, to hype up and stir up. I'm declaring the word of God knowing I'm in agreement with God because he's the one who said that. And that's when faith comes. Because of who said that. I agree. The pressure isn't on me to just have to try to somehow. I'm just agreeing. God said that. God said that. I'm agreeing with God. I love just a bit of a song that's come out recently. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. You're coming into agreement with God. That's my job in faith. That's what helps unstick me from, oh, brother, I'm going to have to say that 150 times before I'm going to talk myself into believing it's true. No way. I'm going to come over here, and I'm just going to boldly declare. And I'm going to see, this is the word of God. I am who he says I am. I am who he says I am. And yeah, I may say it a bunch of times, but I'm saying it from a place of agreement. I'm not saying it from a place of, ugh, from a place of work. I'm unstuck because of the place that I'm saying it from. I'm saying it from a place of trust. I'm saying it from a place of knowing who he says I am. Therefore, if any person's in Christ, engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation. The old is a new creation altogether. The old previous moral, spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. That's what he says I am. I'm just going to agree with that. I'm not going to try to work it up. I just agree. I didn't write that. Father, you wrote that. I agree with that. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to feel it. I'm not probing it. I'm just agreeing. That's my job. And when I do that, these promises have an ability to create a partnership. We're both coming into an agreement. What's in a partnership, really? You're both coming together around a common business, a common something. Well, what it creates is a partnership with you and God. These promises create that, you know, so that through the power of these promises, you experience partnership. And when you're coming into agreement around these things, you experience a partnership. And the peace and the joy in believing is just that you're believing. I don't have to strive. I'm just believing it. Not because I've dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's, but I'm just believing it. I'm just by faith believing it. It's a rest. Faith is a rest. I didn't write this. He said it. And I just agree with him. I agree that it's true. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And there's something about your choosing to believe it, that the witness of the Holy Spirit, that divine nature who's been given to us, gives you that witness that it's true. And praise God, there's a peace in that. There's a rest in that. I'm not trying to work it up. I'm just resting in it. I'm just coming into agreement with God. So those are the things that kind of help me get unstuck, as it were, when I'm in my relationship with God. So if you can kind of see the first letter, it's a little golden there, letter. It's kind of a little acronym. So you just have your afternoon tea or whatever it is. Take your tea to help you get unstuck. Just take it one day at a time. Slow down. Just today. I know there's hope, and I know that's where I need to be. But, you know, like I said, I'm the elephant in the room right now. I'm just not feeling it. I just need to get unstuck. Take my time. Slow down my faith. One day at a time. Sufficient unto the day. Praise God. I'll go through the Lord's Prayer, tweak my heart, whatever that is, great. Enjoying your life in God, that's enjoying the presence of God, enjoying the presence of people, enjoying those relationships that God has given you. We need both. We need both for our full health and enjoyment in life. God wants us to enjoy those relationships. And then finally, there's just an agreeing with God's promises. I'm not striving anything. I'm not trying to work it up. I'm just coming in and I'm just saying, I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. That is what I am, Lord. I agree. I'm just agreeing with you. You said it, you wrote it, and I'm agreeing. And there's a partnership of the Holy Spirit that gives witness and revelation, and there's just rest and a strength, praise God, that just comes from simply agreeing with God. Father in heaven, we just thank you this morning that no matter where we're at in our walk with you, sometimes we feel stuck. Sometimes we can feel like we know what to do, but we just don't have the compulsion, the strength to do what we know we need to do. But Father, we just pray this morning that you will just help each person here this morning in any situation where they may feel stuck. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. It's a precious day. We only get a few of them, so I'm going to value it. I'm going to slow down and appreciate it. I just want to win this day. I want to give this day back to you with my life, with doing what you tell me to do, to trust you this day for my daily bread, to receive this day your mercy and grace as I give mercy and grace, to trust you this day to deliver me from evil, to guide me into all truth, and to make this day a day of worship to you as I enjoy you, as I enjoy your presence, as I allow my emotions to be saturated with thoughts of your love and your mercy and your kindness toward me. As I enjoy relationships, people you've put in my life to spend some time to enjoy their fellowship and to agree with you, to find those scriptures not as a heavy lifting project, but as a resting project. To rest in the truth of your word, knowing it's your word. I simply agree with it. I rest in it, and as I rest in it, the truth of it makes me free. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, just kind of more of a little bit of a practical maybe side of a message to just kind of help as you're feeling in those places where you're feeling a little stuck, to kind of help you get a little unstuck. Like I said, for me, that relationship issue with God is kind of a two-way thing. Either it's on him, why God, things that my heart is wondering, or it's kind of on me. I know what, but I just how to do what I already know to do. And so, you know, be encouraged. We're all there. We all hit these spots as the psalmist did, but he's right there in those moments to help us get unstuck. Amen. Praise God.